So our encouragement talk this evening will be given by Dharma holder James Cordova.
There's something about being asked to give an encouragement talk during Sesshin that for some reason always tickles my funny bone. It's the boiling down that James was talking about earlier, and then we encourage you to boil down even further. So the other thing about this sort of thing is I often wonder, you know, how many different ways there are to say just this is it. just this is it. The talks that we heard today and yesterday and some of the points that were made later on made me think about stories and maps. And so if this encouragement talk had a title, it might be In Defense of Stories or In Defense of Maps or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Just Love My Delusion. You have to be a certain age to get that. So many different ways to say just this is it. Last night, James used the word joy. Sometimes we might use the word happiness or a basic goodness, the bare substance. But there's something about this bare substance that isn't value neutral. There is a goodness to it. It's not just this. There is some positive quality to it at the very bottom. Joy, happiness. How many ways are there to say just this is it? So here's one. A student asks Sun-san, what is love? And this Sun-san said, I ask you, what is love? The student was silent. Sun-san said, this is love. The student was still silent. Sun-san said, you ask me, I ask you. This is love. So you can hear the call and response in this. You ask me, I ask you. We call out, and the universe responds. The server comes by and we bow. The teacher's bell rings, and we ring back. The clappers clap and we stand. And in each one of these instances, in every one of these cases, there is this deeper level of call and response, of just this. You ask me, I ask you. This is love. So, let me read you a little story. Part of getting this, maybe it doesn't matter, but Virgil, who speaks first, is a monkey. And Beatrice, who speaks second and doesn't know about pears, is a donkey. So, Virgil, what I'd give for a pear, Beatrice. A pear? Yes, a ripe, juicy one. I've never had a pear. What? In fact, I don't think I've ever set eyes on one. How is that possible? It's a common fruit. My parents were always eating apples and carrots. I guess they didn't like pears. But pears are so good. I bet there's a pear tree right around here. Describe a pear for me. What is a pear like? I can try. Let's see. To start with, a pear has an unusual shape. It's round and fat on the bottom, but tapered on top. Like a gourd? A gourd? You know gourds, but you don't know pears. How odd the things we know and don't. At any rate, no, a pear is smaller than an average gourd, and its shape is more pleasing to the eye. A pear becomes tapered in a symmetrical way, its upper half sitting straight and centered atop its lower half. Can you see what I mean? I think so. Well, let's start with the bottom half. Can you imagine a fruit that is round and fat? Like an apple? Not quite. If you look at an apple with your mind's eye, you'll notice that the girth of the apple is at its widest, either in the middle of the fruit or in the top third. Isn't that so? You're right. A pear is not like this? No. You must imagine an apple that is at its widest in the bottom third. I can see it. But we must not push the comparison too far. The bottom of a pear is not like an apple's. No. No, most apples sit on their buttocks, so to speak, on a circular ridge or on four or five points that keep them from falling over. Past the buttocks, a little ways up, there's what would be the anus of the fruit if the fruit were a beast. I see precisely what you mean. Well, a pear is not like that. A pear has no buttocks. Its bottom is round. So how does it stay up? It doesn't. A pear either dangles from a tree or lies on its side, as clumsy as an egg. There's something else about the bottom of a pear. Most pears do not have those vertical grooves that some apples have. Most pears have a smooth, round, even bottom. How enchanting. It certainly is. Now, let us move north past our fruity equator. I'm following you. There comes this tapering I was telling you about. I can't quite see it. Does the fruit come to a point? Is it shaped like a cone? Imagine the tip of a banana. Which tip? The end tip. The one you hold in your hand when you're eating one. Take the end tip of a common banana, then, and place it on top of an apple, taking into account the difference between apples and pears that I've just described. An interesting graft. Now make the lines smoother, gentler. Let the banana flare out in a friendly way as it merges into the apple. Can you see it? I believe I can. One last detail. At the very top of this apple-banana composite, add a surprisingly tough stalk, a real tree trunk of a stalk. There, you have an approximation of a pear. A pear sounds like a beautiful fruit. It is. In color, commonly a pear is yellow with black spots. Like a banana again. No, not at all. A pear isn't yellow in so bright, lusterless, and opaque a way. It's a pale or translucent yellow, moving toward beige, but not creamy, more watery, approaching the visual texture of a watercolor wash, and the spots are sometimes brown. How are the spots distributed? Not like the spots on a leopard. It's more a matter of areas of shadowing than of real spots, depending on the degree of maturity of the pear. By the way, a ripe pear bruises easily, so it must be handled with care. Of course. Now, the skin, it's a particular skin. The pear's hard to describe. We were speaking of apples and bananas. Yes. They have smooth, slippery skins. They do. A pear does not have so smooth or slippery a skin. Really? It is so. A pear has a rougher skin, like an avocado's. No, but since you mention avocados, a pear is somewhat shaped like an avocado, although the bottom of a pear is usually plumper. Fascinating. And a pear becomes thinner in its top half in a more pronounced way than an avocado does. Nonetheless, the two fruits are more or less similar in form. I see the shape clearly. But you cannot compare their skins. An avocado's skin is as warty as a toad's. An avocado looks like a vegetable with leprosy. The pear is characterized by a thin roughness, delicate and interesting to the touch. If you could magnify it 100 times, do you know what it would sound like? The sound of fingertips running over the skin of a dry pear. What? It would sound like the diamond of a record player entering a groove. The same dancing crackle, like the burning of the driest, lightest candle. And what does a pear taste like? And so he describes a little bit how it smells first. But how does it taste? I can't wait any longer. A ripe pear overflows with sweet juiciness. Ooh, that sounds good. Slice a pear and you will find that its flesh is incandescent white. It glows with inner light. Those who carry a knife and a pear are never afraid of the dark. But what does it actually taste like? A pear tastes like... it tastes like... I don't know. I can't put it into words. A pear tastes like itself. I wish you had a pear. And if I had one, I would give it to you. You ask me, I ask you. This is love. And find me. Ching Ching asked the monk, what sound is that outside the gate? The monk said, the sound of raindrops. Ching said, sentient beings are inverted. They lose themselves and follow after things. What about you, teacher? I almost don't lose myself. What is the meaning of I almost don't lose myself? To attain the world of emptiness may not be so difficult, but to express the bare substance is hard.